very impressed. God did an amazing job preaching that message through all of that stuff. So this week I have my notes. I just want to encourage you and let you know that you are loved by God. That was a beautiful testimony and a word from the Lord, Pat. You know, she could have not shared that. And she did. So I got to hear it, and you all got to hear it. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. I'm going to start this by sharing a word which I think is very cute. I remember it over the years of my growing up. It's malarkey. Some of us are listening to malarkey and believing malarkey. You know what malarkey is? Lies, exaggerations, baloney, and they even have a curse next to it. They have bull. I was cracking up. I was like, but if you think about malarkey, I mean, I like the word. It's really unbelief. It's lies of the enemy in your life that you might be believing about yourself. So I want you to say out loud, I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Now, last week, I definitely talked a lot about Satan and about demons and about their lying tongues and some of the things that we get bound up in. And I just want you to know that you have all heard this before. The first women's retreat that I did a whole session. The whole entire retreat was on inner healing and deliverance. Because we need to be healed and delivered every day. We need to have our minds renewed and transformed through the word of God, letting that word dwell in us every day. It does not stay. It's just like a glass of water. After a while, it evaporates and you have to fill up the glass again. So we have to get filled and cleansed and filled again and cleansed again. So don't feel bad if you think that you're failing in one or two areas, because I like this one minister talked about the heart needing to be evangelized. The parts of your heart that are in unbelief need to be evangelized. By who is the foremost evangelist? Who knows? Jesus, yes. Father, yes. Holy Spirit, he is the evangelist. He is the one on the earth now that's talking to everybody. So, inner healing is simply the continual process of daily dying to more and more areas of our sinful hearts. As the Lord reveals, we have a carnal old nature that has and stored up all of the experiences that we've had, all of the damages that we've suffered, all of the hurts and the pain. All of those things are in our old nature. But we are not those old men anymore, are we? We are new creatures. So some of us, you know, like to hang out in the graveyard and rehearse death. We like to over and over again rehearse our death. But we're not dead anymore. We're alive in Christ. So I want you to think about rehearsing. And the next time you start speaking against yourself or somebody else starts speaking against you, I want you to say no. I'm a child of God. We both said that in the car this morning. No, I'm a son of God. I said, that's right. I'm a son of God too. You know, we are new creations. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He's our brother. So we can walk in that new creation life. We can. We can do it. We can. Let him touch every part of you and renew it and revive it and re-strengthen it. And we strengthen it and remove all the unbelief and lack of faith. Be honest, brutally honest before the Lord. You would not believe some of the things that I tell God. He doesn't believe it sometimes either, I think. But I know he loves me. And I know that when I'm honest before him, he heals my heart. And I get my conscience cleared and all the mud is off me. I was reading this little book to my grandson, It's a Chuggington book, these little trains, and the one of the little construction, they did all these things and it got dirty. And he was all nervous that he had to get home and, you know, get cleaned. And his friend Rowdy was going to clean him. And he got all just sidetracked and did something else. But he was so afraid he wanted to get home and get cleaned. So he went somewhere to get cleaned. And Rowdy finally showed up and helped him wash the mud off. And it was so cool because he was his friend, you know, he's cultivating friendship in these little kids. But I thought the cool thing was that he wanted to be clean. But you know, before the Lord, he doesn't care if we come dirty. He really doesn't care. Because he's the one that cleans the mud off. He's the one that cleanses our hearts. He's the one that poured out his life and his blood so that we could be clean and we could walk with him. He's so amazing. So 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope." I am speaking this mainly to impart hope into your heart. Some of us have been struggling with things. And again, we are rehearsing and living in a haunted house when we can have a new, brand new house, a brand new vehicle to drive, a brand new body. A living hope. That what is the living hope? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus was raised from the dead, we don't have to be sick. We don't have to remain in sin. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to walk in sin. We don't have to. We can walk in newness of life because Jesus died on the cross, right? And you know, Jesus did walk through walls. He did a lot of things, and we have a lot of things to catch up to do. Jesus walked through walls. He was transported. Even some of his disciples were. I know people, I've read, I don't know them personally, who have raised the dead and who have walked through walls and been transported now. So that encourages me that I have more things. I have more things I want to do in God until I go up to glory. I want to just put your heart to rest. Helen's life was not robbed in any way, shape, or form. Her body shut down and that was it. And considering what it could have been, it was very quick. And it was good. God is good. So, Romans 15:13. "Now may God, who is the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you believe." Why? So that you may overflow with hope. You get filled with hope so you can overflow with hope. By the power of your own strength. Nobody says anything except Gail. No, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power within you to overcome. He's God. He's amazing. And you know, our minds, our carnal mind, our old man does not want to believe that we are loved by God and that he can set us free from whatever it is that's tormenting us and whatever thing that we happen to be caught up in. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. "No, ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit." You're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God, the living Holy Spirit, dwells in you. That right there, if I meditated on that for the rest of my life, it will be enough to keep me in that place of being loved by God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Does he dwell in you, Martha? How about you, Marilyn? Holy Spirit! If we think that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, we may not act out some of the things that we have been acting out. Our bodies are his temples. The Holy Spirit's desire is to bring complete and total salvation to us, spiritual resurrection, as well as total restoration of our bodies and souls. This sozo, that's what sozo means in the Greek. Sozo, that's our promised land. See, everything that's written in the word is for our benefit. You think about the children of Israel, they started in bondage and they went through all kinds of stuff and came out, walked through the wilderness, came out and they had a promised land. That's what God does for us too. And the promised land is liberty, freedom. Totally. I'm not going to address all the what ifs. We're talking about truth here. And the way that you walk in truth is by believing that truth and applying it to your life. And all the what ifs are, guess who? Malarkey. Malarkey. When we first come to Jesus, I mentioned it initially, we're wounded and damaged. Especially if we come to him as adults. That's why I tried so hard to raise my children from the beginning so that they would love and cherish and worship Jesus and walk. But, you know, they had to find out for themselves anyway. And they had to fall and get back up again and try this and try that and go through this and go. And some of it was very painful to me as a mother to watch. But you know what? They are all wonderful people, and they all believe in Jesus, and they all believe in God, and they're walking. And there will be more trials. But, you know, I'm in the midst of trials all the time, too. So why would I think that my kids would not have to go through things? I mean, that's what we do. This process of being healed is for us to come into a place. You go into the wilderness so that God can show you how amazing he is and how loving he is and how easy it is for him to take you out of whatever it is that you're in. But you don't find out until you have an experience that may not look like God is there. But when you start here in the promise, the promise, you end up prophetically speaking and declaring that promise, you will end up in the place of victory. I guarantee it, because God is truth. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So, we come with life consequences, thoughts and decisions that we made when we were in the dark, right? Am I the only one? So Jesus comes in, pretend you're a house, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes in, he starts rearranging the furniture. This is like one of my favorite analogies about a house of our bodies. He comes in and he rearranges the furniture and he starts cleaning the bathroom and he cleans all the closets. And, you know, just let him do it. Just let him do his work. He's very good at it. He knows how to do it. And he'll get everything all cleaned and straightened out for you. And then life happens sometimes. We may come to a place where we feel wonderful, and then life happens and there's another wound. Or you can sit in a room with a whole mess of people and they all got stuff going on. I don't know about you, but I definitely get affected. And I have to go home and pray it all off, pray everybody into the place of the kingdom. That's part of the gifting that the Lord has given me in intercession, to be aware of what's going on when I'm with people so that I can be Jesus and bring life to that area and to that person. I may not know the personal situations, but I can sense when somebody's struggling and troubled. So, and I do still get wounded. I want to apologize. I was out of line on Tuesday night remarking about somebody that was offended that I walked by and didn't say hello to them. But you know what? I realized this morning that I felt that way because this person was trying to make me feel bad that I wasn't taking care of her. Not my job anymore. But you know, because of who I am and what I feel and the calling on my life, you always want to do that. As a pastor, you always want to help come alongside and help them along the road. So I had to repent. What was that? The heat? Okay. The answer Holy Ghost. The answer is still the same if you're wounded. And you know what? I can't take away your wounds, but Jesus can. But I can pray for you and bring you to the cross so that, prophetically speaking, I can declare righteousness over you, that somewhere down the line you're going to come into the place, because Jesus is alive in me, and I believe that what his word says is true, because the word of God is dwelling in me richly in all wisdom. And I do sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and the peace is an empire on my heart. His peace is an empire. Umpire. In one of the versions, it says, let the peace that passes understanding, let it be an umpire, guard, a garrison over your heart. So I work very hard to keep my heart in a place of peace. And I let that peace, when I start losing my peace, I ask the Lord. He's you know, like an umpire at a baseball game. There's an error, or there's this, you know. What's going on here? Why am I losing my peace? And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He's very quick to let me know. I did say this again, but I'm going to say this before, but we have the remains of every memory, action, word, circumstance, feeling, everything that we have encountered, we have tucked into our old man. Sometimes that old man starts yelling and screaming and demanding to be heard, and you got to bop him over the head with a frying pan because you don't want to listen to that anymore. So the warfare is take the word and apply it to that old man. You cannot defend the old man. The old man tries to defend himself, but he has no defense because he's a liar, right? Malarkey. That's why the old nature has to be brought to the cross. I have read a lot of things over the last month of the scientific reality of positive thinking and positive information being brought into a body, even more so the Word of God, because it's alive and active. There's scientific proof that if you turn your negative thinking and your toxic thoughts and your toxic emotions into positive, that your living will improve. And that's critical as Christians. It's critical because that's renewing your mind, and that's how you get transformed. Now, this is a fact. You need to hear a new truth. Are you listening? 7 times before it goes into your subconscious. 7 times. So how many times we tell you to meditate and memorize and ruminate and reflect? 7 times. It's like a cow. I think a cow has 7 stomachs, right? And he chews the cud and it goes around. I mean, it's a gross thought, but it works. 7 times. So when we say that, I mean, you know, it's amazing when you start studying the word sometimes, how all of these things just flow together that have to do with the way God created things. I mean, it's just incredible. 7 times. In Romans 6, 7, and 8, 3 of my favorite chapters, I can't tell you how many times I told my kids, go read Romans 6, 7, and 8. You'll understand why you're doing what you're doing and how to get out of it. Romans 6 is the old man. People say, oh, Paul's wondering why he's wrestling. He's talking about his old nature. Romans 6 is the old nature. Romans 7 is the wrestling. And if you think you're not going to have to wrestle, then you're totally missed the boat. Totally missed the boat. Because when we get up to heaven, then we get a new body. Ellen has a new body now. I don't. I'm still working on mine, getting renewed and transformed and staying healthy and taking good care of it and all of those things. So Romans 7 is the wrestling. Then Romans 8. What's Romans 8, 1 and 2? Who knows? Romans 8, 1. There you, come on, let me hear you, Elizabeth. I know you knew. You know it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. See, I actively engage in that law of the Spirit of life against the law of sin and death in me. No. I'm going to give you the inner healing scriptures. I'm not going to read them today because I have other things I want to share with you. I have a very simple solution to get you healed. Very simple. I'm going to share the 4 spiritual laws with you, which you have to obey. There are things in the kingdom that you have to obey. You can't slide and say, oh, because what happened, the part of you that is unredeemed, that's why you always have to say, my Redeemer lives and he's over every part of me. And when the enemy comes, he'll find nothing in me, which Jesus said because he came to that place. The whole thing is that what's unredeemed in you, the enemy has place. He has legal access to it. So if you're in sin and you keep sinning and you're not repenting, now if you're repenting, then okay, there's an open door there for God to come in and clean that part over and over and over. I don't care how many times you repent, God will come in and clean it every time because that's who he is. He's a forgiving God and he loves us. So, I lost my track of my thought, but that's okay. So, the healing scriptures are Psalm 51, 1 through 12. Created me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, God of compassion, wonderful, amazing Father. Do what you have to do. Do what you have to do. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a scripture. When David was one of the chief sinners, like we all are, and that was what he cried out to the Lord after he was in horrendous sin. And there were reasons why he was in sin. So we can look at his life and say, okay, well, what did you do, David? Well, he was hanging out on the rooftop instead of being out in the battle, in the warfare, which is where he should have been. The other cluster, I mean, and you can use any scripture, but I'm just giving you these because these are given, and it's right in the scripture, right in there is a prayer. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. So I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to take those scriptures, and I want you to use them this week at least once every day. Is that a lot? No. Either one set or the other. You don't have to have both sets. And read it. And sit with the Holy Spirit. You know, he is amazingly loving and concerned and ready. If you remember when I preached about the cudgel, that the Holy Spirit is waiting with that bat to cudgel the enemy. He is ready to do that. That's what he does every time you pray. He comes out with that cudgel and whops the devil and his demons in the head. So use them. Get healed. It works. Repentance. Oh, ouch, ouch. I don't like that word. I love that word. Repentance is the greatest tool against bondage. Repentance is the greatest tool that will bring deliverance and inner healing. Repentance is the first and the best. It removes the ground of satanic attack. It pulls the rug out from underneath the devil. It pulls the rug out from underneath. Do you know that fear is believing in the false God? Faith is believing in the living God. So if you're afraid, you need to repent for being afraid. I'm afraid, Lord. I was afraid the other night when I took the dog outside, and right before I walked outside, there was lightning lit up the whole sky, and I was like, what? I could feel the storm in the air. And I'm telling you, I got really scared. It's been a long time since I've been afraid of a storm, but it was so powerful, and the wind was amazingly fast. I was getting blown over. And then the thunder was in the distance, but I could feel it in the ground. I could feel it. I said, Bear, you better hurry up because I'm not staying out here. I'm not staying out here and get blown away. I was getting blown away. So he did his business. Now we're in the house. I said, you better pray for me. I'm really scared. I'm really afraid of the storm. But I didn't say, oh, I'm not scared. Because that doesn't, you know, that's a lie. Malarkey. I was afraid. I got over it. I was fine. I slept like a log. I knew the Lord was going to take care of me. But it's part of your being truthful before the Spirit of Truth. It pulls the rug out from underneath the enemy. It unleashes God's freeing power and reclaims areas of the heart through forgiveness and applying the blood. You need to apply the blood. Do we believe in the blood? We do. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Communion is a weapon against the enemy and the lies of the devil. Communion is a weapon. I take communion at home. I am taking in the body and the blood of Jesus. When I take communion, I believe that. I believe that I'm changed. The same way that I believe when I read the word that I am changed. Because when I read the word, it's a living, breathing word of God. Yes? So get renewed, reformed, and rebuilt. And don't rehearse your failures. Dig deep and lay the foundation of your life on the rock, which is Christ. Luke 6:4 talks about, I didn't look that up, but I believe it's the building your house on the rock or you build your house on the sand. Building your house on the belief that Jesus Christ is alive and he is our elder brother. Consider that your home may need a little cleansing, right? I need a cleansing every morning. I take whatever I have to take in the Word to get filled and flooded with the presence of the Lord. I'm going to give you some practical ways to walk in inner healing and to receive it and bring other people through deliverance and inner healing. I shared last week about deliverance. This week I'm sharing about inner healing. Consider that your home needs a cleansing. Say, okay, Lord, my home needs a cleansing. I went through a study a couple of months ago, and I when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is amazing. It was something about the heart. I forget, some healing of the heart by Mark Verkler, who I happen to love as a minister and teacher of the Word. So I spent a lot of time over that weekend, because it was free, downloading and watching. I didn't download, but I had to watch it, and I took all these notes because I thought, oh, I got to make sure my heart is healed. That was my thinking. Oh, there's anything in my heart, because I was struggling with something. I was like, ooh. And then when I got done with it, I took all the notes, and I prepared and prayed through everything. The Holy Spirit said, your heart is totally fine. You were just nervous about such and such. But I went through that. I went through it. You want to keep short accounts. You want to keep short accounts. So consider, some of us need a deep cleansing. Some of our houses are really dirty. And others just need a light dusting. So you're the only one that knows, between you and God, what your house looks like and how much you need the Lord to come in and do some work. So you can start by allowing the Holy Spirit to touch every room. Open and close the doors. Let him open and close. Let the Holy Spirit open the door and let him close the door. I had over the last month, I had a little something that was in my mind, and I knew it was there, and I had washed and cleansed it with the blood many, many years and went through, and there it was popping up again, like those pop-ups, you know. I said, oh, no, you don't. You're not coming back. You're gone. You're dead. And I took and applied that word of God, you know. There are masters over us, but we're not going to talk about them anymore. Like this, I washed my mind in the blood. I grabbed that word. I said, Lord, let the word I've been, I don't remember what scripture. And like that, because I do see in the spirit. So it was gone. Yay. It's gone. I let the Holy Spirit touch that area of my mind and wash it with the blood. Clean it. So it has no control over me anymore. It's gone. If you're not in control of an area of your life, you're in bondage. If there's something that you cannot say yes or no to, you are in bondage to that thing, and you need to get that taken care of. So sometimes when the Holy Spirit goes into that door, it's painful, because we have painful, damaged emotions, some of us still. We have painful, damaged thought lives. We go through things. We have people yelling at us, or, you know, went to the wrong line in the grocery store and somebody had a bad attitude and spewed it all over you. So, you know, so you got to get your armor on. Put your armor on. Wash it. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't like that, Lord. I didn't like what they did. I don't know why they did that. I forgive them. Because I don't want to be walking around with anybody else's garbage on me. No. And then, you know, I was not really saved until I was 28 years old. So I had a lot of living as a sinner. And I had a lot of cleaning and a lot of cleansing and a lot of inner healing and a lot of deliverance. I was full of demons. I was full of wrong thoughts, and my emotions were worse than toxic. They were lethal. That's why I don't, you know, when people come and they start telling me what's going on, I said, you know, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And I know God is the deliverer. I know that he'll heal, because he loves. So things will pop up in my mind about this or that or oh, this. Always working. Even with the tape. God is always working. Even with the tape. Somebody didn't like what I said. That's okay. What? Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay. And then I can see what you're doing here. Okay, I am Italian, I'm sorry. So you let the Holy Spirit touch every room, and he's the comforter, right? So you need the truth revealed, he'll reveal the truth to you. 1 Peter 5:10. Some churches don't tell you about this part, but I'm telling you. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, I remember when I first saw the scripture, I didn't like it. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. So there's our nice, wonderful house again. Isaiah 60:18. Oh! You will call your walls salvation. And your gates praise. When you listen back, you say, why is she yelling? In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory. Shabakuta. By means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, you see what's happening. I'm talking about suffering in the flesh, and somebody is not liking it. Because the Christian message is not full of malarkey. It's full of truth, which means that you will suffer. Your flesh is going to suffer when you are going to the cross. It hurts. When somebody yells at you or says an unkind word to you, it hurts. You get wounded. When your mother tells you you're a slough off, it's going to hurt you. But God's love will flood every part of your body that has been wounded and hurt if you give it to him. After you suffer for a while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. Isaiah 60:18, you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. That's a good picture. Perhaps the walls and gates are in need of repair. Repair the walls. Face your problems head on. Overcome them. Assess the damages and believe. See, it's about believing. Close the gates. Close off all avenues to sin and old thinking. Do you have old thinking in your mind? Well, sometimes we do. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and bring health and strength to every dimension of your beings. Let the Holy Spirit restore you. Train your will to choose thoughts and values and behaviors that bring praise to God. Let God uproot the weeds. Think about a garden. I use this analogy all the time, even in my own thinking. Matthew 5:13 says, every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So repent is our middle name when we're going through inner healing and deliverance. Repent is our middle name. I'm going to share the four spiritual laws with you, and then I'm going to share a very simple thing that you can do, that you can take every one of your wounds and get healed in a very simple way. God is not complicated. He died and he rose again and he ascended and he sat down. Very easy. All right, the four spiritual laws. I'm going to read Psalm 19 first, 7 to 14. I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read it yourself. It speaks very clearly about the commandments of the law and the statutes of the law and how it works. The beginning of Psalm 18 talks about the heaven declaring the glory of God and the firmament displays his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. There is no knowledge that is hidden from the heat thereof. That means that in every given moment, God has displayed who he is in his glory in the heavens and the earth. Nobody can ever say that Jesus didn't talk to them because God displayed his glory in the heavens. Psalm 19:7 through 14 talks about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I remember when the Lord showed this to me, I memorized this and I read it over myself for a very long time. Converting my soul. I wanted my soul converted. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. You know, God is holy. Okay. I'm going to give you four spiritual laws that you have to come into and understand and receive and work through. I've worked this through with many of you in different measures and ways. A lot of times you don't even know what I'm doing. But that's okay. God knows. All right. The four spiritual laws. The first one is honor your parents. Honor your parents. When you're an adult, it doesn't mean obey your parents, but you need to honor them. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged on the earth and that it may go well with you in the land which your Lord God has given you. So if you got a doozy for a mother and father, you still need to honor them. And you do need to repent if you're thinking that they're doozies. But you also need to be honest about who they are and what they are and what they might be doing to you. Because God did not create you to be abused. Okay? That's not going to go any further. Number two, do not judge. Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourselves. Really. For just as you judge others, you will be judged. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. So have a lot of mercy for that person that's irritating you or treating you poorly, because it's going to come back. Whatever measure that you use for them, it will be meted to you. This was just an aside note. I was thinking about the measure. Everybody has a measure of faith. I've been reading this book, and they were talking in other terms, but a measure of faith, everybody has a measure of faith, which means that in your sphere of influence, in your sphere where your measure is moving, you have power and authority. If you step outside of that measure of faith, sometimes you may be having a hard time. So just think sometimes where you are, you might be outside of the sphere that God had created for you to influence. I've been meditating on that truth. It's been good. Okay, the third one is take heed of the laws of sowing and reaping, Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to his flesh, your natural lower nature, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Self-explanatory. For consider that we become what we judge in others. Let me tell you something. That is the truth. I learned the hard way. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For imposing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge and are habitually practicing the very same thing that you censor and denounce. Sometimes our response to a particular situation is because we may be doing the same thing. So that is a law that sometimes my mind goes, what? But you know what? It's true. If you really let the Spirit search your heart, he'll show you. So those are the four spiritual laws. I'll just repeat them. Honor your parents. Do not judge. Take heed of the laws of sowing and reaping. Consider that we become what we judge in others. If you think about Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So if you want your soul converted, which we do, because we don't want the old man rearing his ugly head and having any authority over us, then we need to obey God's law. Didn't God say, if you keep my commandments? Didn't he say in Exodus 15, if you keep my commandments, I will put none of these diseases on you? Sometimes it's because we're not privy to the understanding of how it works when we're having problems. Sometimes it's because we are in unbelief. Sometimes it's because we're being attacked. The answer is still the same. Let God deal with it. It's the same answer. Let God deal with it. I think the first thing is that when we're having a struggle, it's because we took our eyes off the Creator. Because when we look and worship and begin to come into a place of seeing Jesus as who he is, these other things cannot have any control over us. So that's an impetus to worship, encouragement to worship. All right, I'm going to give you a very simple solution to inner healing. Are you ready? Go to Jesus. No, I'm kidding. Number one, identify the painful emotions. We're talking about being truthful. Identify the painful emotions associated with a particular event. If you're in pain, there's a reason why you're in pain. So identify the painful emotion. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will take you back to when the pain was initially inflicted. Sometimes, if you just feel the pain, the emotion, God can take care of it just like that. If the emotion that you feel is sinful, ask God to forgive you and receive his forgiveness. If it's not sinful, then you don't have to ask him to forgive it. Number two, ask Jesus to take the painful emotions from you. Very simple. Ask Jesus to take the painful emotions from you. God does not want you to be in pain. So ask him to take the painful emotion from you and perhaps replace it with something else. Like, let's say you're very angry all the time. Well, God can take that anger and he can restore peace to you. I remember at one point I was really having a hard time, and I was trying to put a Band-Aid over this gaping wound that I had. I think I've shared this with most of you. And I was sitting in my kid's back room. Ariel was just born. I'm sitting there, and I was sobbing and crying on the toy chest. Sobbing and crying, and I didn't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit just opened my heart, and showed me this picture of this gaping wound, and I was trying to put a Band-Aid over it. And he said, that's not going to help. Let my word come in and cleanse all the infection and all of the pain, and I let him do that over a number of months. And he did. And then I didn't even need a Band-Aid because he healed the wound. You know, we want things a certain way, and we may think that we're entitled to things being a certain way, but you know what? That's malarkey. Because only if it's the way that God created it to be and the way he has created things to flow, that's the only thing you can really depend on. And if it's not that way, then you can pray his word until your life lines up with what the word says. And I will tell you from experience that it works. But you have to believe, and you have to also repent of unbelief. Okay. The third, ask him to heal the wound in your soul caused by that emotion. Because there are negative emotions, there are toxic emotions, there are people that are wounded and hurt that are in your family that will wound and hurt you. And they're not even aware that they're wounding and hurting you. That's why you need to have that armor on when you go into your family if they don't have the kingdom of God around. Because God is going to help you to deal with whatever is happening. And you need to be truthful about whatever it is that you're feeling so you can get released and free. It's not why. We go around and around in our minds. Why? I read this book by a woman named Langer, I forget. But I remember when I read it, it's about difficult people. What do you do with difficult people? And I had two very difficult people in my life. My mom was a difficult person, and my sister Linda is still a difficult person. And you know what? When I finished that book, I realized that I could not be anything other than who I was, and that person is whoever they were. And sometimes, you know, you mix oil and water and it doesn't work. So I had to be who I was and make it okay for them to be who they are, and not trying to change them and not trying to change myself. Be who I am, being comfortable that God loves me and that he loves me just the way I am. He's created me. So I learned after reading that I could love my mom and my sister without feeling less than, because for them, it still is, I am totally right and you are totally wrong. And it doesn't matter. The reality of what's really going on doesn't matter. So I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whether I am bad or I'm abased, I'm content. And I always have to come back. I do, just like you. I have to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, you love me. I know you love me. I know you're going to keep me. I know you're going to heal me. And I give you these wounds. I give you, oh, that hurt me. I go back to the Lord and give him the hurt. It's not the why, it's how. How is it affecting you? That's the discernment. You know, one of the gifts of the spirits is discernment. How is it affecting you? It's not why. Why did it happen? We don't even know half the time why things are happening the way they're happening, but we have control over how they affect us and whether or not we're going to let them rule. So Isaiah 26, no, they have no rule. So draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16. If we know that we can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he's going to heal us, knowing that he's going to deliver us, knowing that his full desire is that we come into a full restoration, full healing, full liberty, full freedom, then we can get what he has already bought for us on that cross. Zechariah 3, I think sometimes we need to get back and memorize Isaiah 53 and really get a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. What he won for us. He's amazing. And he did it. And it's ours as born again spirit-filled believers. I'm going to end just reading Zechariah 3, 1 through 7. There are so many places in the Word where there is healing and there is restoration. There's another one which I couldn't find and I didn't think about it until I was going to sleep last night, about a woman that was just in such a place of turmoil, and God just came and wiped her up and cleaned her up and just cleansed her. And she came out a beautiful bride. But this is Zechariah 3. This is about Joshua. Zechariah 3, 1 through 7. So you can put your name in here. So we could do that with the Word, can't we? Because the Word is written to us. Then he showed me Joshua. Who did? God. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. There's only one Satan. And believe me, you're not doing anything so wonderful that he's going to come after you. But he has demons. There are demons that went down with him. Satan is not in hell. He's not in hell. He's walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You need to not be devoured. So this is what Jesus said. The Lord, Jesus, said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. He didn't engage. He knew what he was going to do on the cross. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem. Oh, indeed, the Lord who has chosen RCF rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? I'm a brand plucked from the fire. How about you? I was plucked from the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke, the Lord spoke and said to those who were standing before him, he said, remove those filthy garments from him. And again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away, and I will clothe you with festal robes. That's what God does. When we come into the presence of Jesus, he takes away our sinful natures, he takes away our filthy garments, and he clothes us with festal robes. He clothes us with the wet robe of righteousness. He clothes us with the gospel of peace. He puts a crown on our head. He says, you are my princess, you are my prince, I love you. So I'm going to pray for you now. If there's something that God brought up in your heart and you want prayer with it, Pastor Roy and I are up here to pray. If you want to deal with it on your own, that's fine. We are very much in favor of you in your relationship with the Lord, getting what he has for you from him, and yet we are here if you need help. So I want you to, whatever it is, I'm sure the Lord put his finger on something. When I was doing this message all week, there was all kinds of things coming up. But I'm free. I'm free today. I'm blessed, highly favored of the King. So let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your people at RCF. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus. I thank you for all that you are, all that you were, and all that you will be. I pray, Father, that anything that is causing consternation, any malarkey that is coming up right now for your people today, that you will deal with it, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of Truth. That you will take that cudgel and that you will bludgeon to death the lies. That you will heal the wounds. If it's a big wound, Lord, start the healing. But we know, Lord God, that you will get to the bottom of the wound and you will heal it and cleanse it and remove all of the bacteria and cover it with your blood and your love and put over new skin, Lord, over every wound that we have suffered. Father, if there are wounds and hurts from the past, even from today, you in this moment, Holy Spirit, can heal and touch. So we give you the houses. Our houses are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We give you our houses and we trust you to do what you have to do in our lives. We thank you for your abiding grace and your abiding love. In Jesus' name, amen.